Let's pray before we get started. Father God, thank you this morning for your word that's life and health and healing all our flesh. That you truly have given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of you. So Lord, we seek that knowledge. We seek to be doers of your word, not hearers only. And as we go forth, Father, we thank you that you've got things for us this morning. Lord, I just on the way over here, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that you said in Acts, I think it's chapter 5, Lord, right there, verse 7 or something, that you've granted unto us your service that with all boldness we may speak your word. So, Lord, I thank you that as I boldly speak your word, you confirm that word with signs following. You demonstrate your goodness, your intentions, Father, and we hear it and we see it. And we don't, as Corey says, we're not having another dead church service. Lord, we thank you. As your word goes forth, it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which you desire and please. And so we're going to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And as we hear this morning and understand, we go forth and be what you've called us to be. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I actually have this written down for at the end of the service, but I'm going to share it right now. That doesn't mean we're going home right now. It's not the great revelation we haven't had yet that causes us defeat. It's failure to do what we already know to do that causes us defeat. Did y'all get that? I'll read it again. It's not the great revelation we haven't had yet that causes us defeat. Or to, I'm not being negative like in defeat. I'm just saying it causes, it's not the lack of that revelation that causes situations and circumstances in our life that can be trying. It's most of the time it's because we're not applying what we already know to do. And with that said, so this week as I'm studying, the title of this message is Chill Out and Get a Grip. Kind of like, couldn't you just picture Martha and Mary when Jesus walks in and, Martha's all cumbered about, Instead of saying, Martha, Martha, what would we say? Hey, howdy, chill out a little bit and get a grip, You're kind of being troubled with things you ought not be troubled with. Okay, y'all, I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm preaching at me. Because this week, it's like I'm sitting there and the Lord said, you need to do the things you know to do. Don't get caught up thinking I'm going to give you some new revelation here that you already know. It's been said that a lot of times we need to go back and look what the last thing God told us to do was. Because if we haven't done that, he's not going to give us another order yet. It's like sometimes we ignore those orders. It's like, well, I'd really rather, maybe if I just don't pay him no attention, he'll move me on somewhere else. It might be with some people, but it ain't with God. If we ain't paying attention and if we're not being focused where he'd have us to go and to do what he'd have us to do and do the last thing he told us to do, he's like, okay, I can watch for a while. You're not going to enjoy yourself. You're going to get caught up in all these little things that trying to do things that it's not going to make it happen. Now, fortunately, his grace will make our mistakes to prosper, but we got to come back in line. And I thought about this too, Betsy. If we as Christians, God's grace is sufficient to make our mistakes prosper. He'll override and redo things. But in the meantime, Renee, we experience a lot of the consequences of the actions that we just participated in. How much more do I figure that these illegitimate politicians that are trying to corrupt this nation, I'm praying for their salvation, but I don't want them to miss out on the consequences of their actions. And so if we get to experience those, that's just kind of thrown in there. I kind of think maybe they should experience some of them too. So as I'm thinking about all that, it's like, Lord, and it's so simple. Sometimes we make things so difficult. Y'all can look at Isaiah 54:17, and you know this. We just quoted over those seniors. But it says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and any tongue that rises against us in judgment is condemned is shown to be in the wrong, for this is the heritage of us, the servants of the Lord. And no weapon, that's what the Lord was showing me today. He said this other day, yesterday afternoon, reading on some of this, and he said, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper unless we open the door to it. Unless, and this was the area I wanted to, this was the area I'm going in. Matthew 13:22, unless the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke out the word. You know, I know Corey's been on it. I've been on it for a long time as far as the word. The word of God is life and health and healing to all our flesh, and we know that. But we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as it tells us in James. That we got to be doers of the word. At the rope another day, I think it was during the rodeo, Howdy, and a friend of mine, Tuck Garnett, and I were standing there talking, and Tuck's had some health issues the last year, and so nailed this as we're standing there talking. He said, you know, Rusty, God showed me, he said, you need to quit praying for what, you need to start praying for what you need. And then he showed Tuck, he said, you need to be speaking out loud so you can hear. You need to speak the word out loud so you can hear. And he said, I'm fixing to be 70 years old. Me and Tut both are. And he said, I just learned that. And he said, but wow. He said, God is opening doors and healing physical issues in his life because he realized, if I'll speak the word, if I'll be a doer of the word, God's word's not returning void. And so we're all, I mean, this world today, you know, I really didn't want to share this. We went through a little deal lately. Most of y'all know we were trying to get moved back closer to this direction and everything. And the hard part, Kenny, that hurt me was like I asked Kathy today, I said, how could we have missed this deal to get in this storm we got in? Because our realtor tells us, man, don't put your house on the market till you find a place because it's going to sell like that. Okay. We find a place. We get a contingency on the place. 60 days. Because it ain't going to take long to sell ours. Nice place we find. And we rock along there. And nothing happens. We get a lot of lookers. And lowball offers. And I'm like, if I don't make money, I ain't doing it. And we rock along there. So the contingency's fixing to play out. This is having to walk in love when you don't want to, okay? This is having to be a doer of the word in a situation that you would rather do something else. The contingency's fixing to play out. And my realtor, you know, West Texas, certain, you know, that direction, there's courtesy things that we just do. And Missy calls and says, hey, guys, said, look, man, we're 3 days, 4 days from this being over. It's fixing to be Easter weekend, and we're not going to get this deal done. Said, we here at the office, we generally, when we get that close, we're willing to offer them the opportunity to go ahead and step out from under the contract. We were not waiving the contingency. We were terminating the contract. And I mean, all in this contract and everything, you know, all number four. And so I said, hey, you're my buyer's agent. You're handling our place. I said, you do whatever you think. You know, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I bet she ought not do this. Because she had 3 or 4 more days where there will be no question. So she does. She requests our earnest money be sent back. And the people deny it. I said, no, that's ours. You quit. You dropped out before the April 2nd. Well, I'm not real happy. And so we go through some things there. And they said, this ain't right. Said, they ain't got a leg to stand on. And so they go, and then they send a demand. Thursday night, a week ago, this past Thursday, when we leave here to go home, we got home, and we get served papers that we're being sued for the earnest money. And usually there's other things transpire before you go that far. And now, I had to practice some of Billy Brim's things, you know, chips, like Mama would say to pray for him. I said, not exactly what I want to do at the moment. But begin to, you know, begin to apply the word, be a doer of the word. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I can go so far with this. I'll bless, you know, I'm asking you to do things for him and to bless him, and I'm not going to get in strife. And then he went to reminding me, y'all, he said, when you do things my way, my grace even makes your mistakes to prosper. He said, when you do things my way, I become your advocate. But as long as you want to be your advocate, I can let you be your advocate. So, like, I don't even know what to do. I mean, this paperwork and stuff, you know, anyway, long story short, hey, it's all over. Now, they got their earnest money, but there was a loophole. But even the Texas Real Estate Commission attorney said, we've never had somebody, nobody pull something this sorry. You know, people don't do that. And I had told Missy, the little voices, guys, Missy and Kathy, she's explained things to us after the lawyers, and she said, but I want to wait till the last day to release that earnest money so that they don't get it till the last day. I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, this is just the Holy Spirit said, you should sign those papers now because this man's going to sue you. I said, this guy's a scam artist, and it ain't the first time he did this. And I'm not judging him. I'm just saying that's what came to mind. And it was the next night that we get sued. Guys, just stay tuned in, listening. But the Lord worked it all out. Me and Kathy got ours back because it wound up being the real estate people's on our side's fault because they, as Missy's boss put it, no good deed goes unpunished. You try to be, you know, just watch. But listen to the Holy Ghost. But in the point being, do things God's way. We came out fine when we do that. And I was able, Betsy, to pray for the people. I haven't wanted to meet them face to face. Well, I kind of wanted to, but that wouldn't have been appropriate yet. And so it's like, God's just saying, guys, stay tuned into my word. So Howdy and Frank, y'all got to come up here and help me a minute. I got to use you, Frank, before you go. Frank may have to leave early because he's got a rope here after lunch at Lano. And so he met, but he called me this morning and said, hey, I'm close. And, you know, things with a rope, just, man, it's just, you know. God told me, he said, quit playing tug of war with me. Who wants the one around their waist here? No, you just put this on, though, because it'll break away. Frank knows how to pull it, so it's going to break away in a minute. But in the meantime, you come over and get down this a little bit. Don't pull on that part yet, okay? You can pull. You got to hold on to it out here. I want you to hold it so that you don't, okay, out here so it doesn't break away yet. Now, just picture some things here, you know? Which one of y'all wants to be the flesh? Which one wants to be the spirit? Huh? Okay, flesh, spirit, okay? That's because I've already put the rope on you. And so, you know, but over here on the flesh side, just like that right there, you know, you're having this tendency to like, I want to do this and I want to do that to overcome it. Or we get something that comes in and it's just, it's so troublesome and our minds are so occupied with it that it takes over. And then we don't hear the spirit. You know, you pull a little bit. He's pulling on our spirit. You know, and the spirit, man, he's pulling back a little bit, saying, pull a little bit. So, you know, yield here. But the flesh just keeps on, you know. And then first thing you know, that's not just the one thing. Then something else comes up. And I was on that. And the flesh is over here pulling. And the spirit, man, he's just like, if you listen to me. That's God. He's saying, listen, guys. My ways are higher than your ways. My ways are better than your ways. And if you'll hearken unto my voice and you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in things the way I want you to. And my grace will make even your mistake to prosper. And so, just hold tight, guys. Don't go nowhere yet. I'll get up this. I get a new knee Wednesday morning. And I'm really thankful for that, too. So, in all that, I'm thinking, God said, quit playing tug of war with me. Joshua 1:8, we know this. It says, the word of God, this book of the law, shall not depart of our mouth, but we shall meditate on it day and night so we can observe to do according to all that's written in it. So when our spirit man begins to meditate on the word and we take authority over that word, and we just start putting that word in every situation, knowing that my God, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and made whole. Even when it don't feel like it. The flesh is saying, but you hurt. Shut up. You know, and listen, it's hard. Sharon hurt there for a few days. Maybe a few weeks. A few days. But she, me and Kathy watched her, several of y'all did too. Her countenance, she kept applying the word. She kept standing on the word. She kept saying, nope, nope. I mean, she asked God if it was time to go home yet, and he said no. So, okay, well, let's get on with the program. We got to get to work. We got things to do. God's given us all these things that pertain unto life and God's, but we got to take the word because the word never returns void. So Frank's over, the spirit man over here is applying the word. You can turn loose at that part. And the flesh is still, you're pulling. I want you to start pulling. But God's, the flesh, the spirit man, he's listening on the word. There's no, you can pull now. You can pull. It's supposed to break here in a minute. There you go. When we apply the word, we break away from the things of the flesh. You don't get a picture. I mean, it's just simple. You can sit down. Thanks, guys. Y'all give them a hand. Stand up here. But so, you know, the Lord just laid it out to me in just steps. You know, with Joshua 1:8, he said, the word of God shall not depart of our mouth, but we shall meditate on it day and night. It shall not depart out of our mouth. As Tut was telling me, he said, man, I'm beginning to learn and experience what it means to speak the word all day long. You know what? When we start declaring the word, it tells us in Job, we declare it and it's established for us. He said, just be a doer of the word. Speak the word. Declare the word. Have confidence in the word. Cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35. And in there, have great recompense of reward. There's a great reward for being a doer of the word. It establishes peace. Y'all go to Psalms 119. This is where I want to get here and share some things with you. And in the meantime, when we meditate on it, we observe to be doers of the word, and the result is we make our way prosperous, we deal wisely, we have good success, and we walk in the peace of God. You know, listen, it's, I don't know about y'all. I don't, like, in the movie Lonesome Dove, y'all might think I'm really bad when I tell you what the favorite part of that movie is. But it's when Captain Call beats the snot out of that army guy and said, I don't tolerate rudeness in a man. I don't like rudeness. I don't like people that don't appreciate courtesy and appreciate things when you do something for them or that use other people and try to manipulate. I don't like that. I just soon take that brand and iron to one of them and you know, that's like, they need to experience that, you know. But, and that was my first reaction with this little deal with this guy was, I might find out where he lives. And the Lord said, that would be really dumb. And when we decide to listen and say, Lord, how would you have me? I want you to pray for him, lift him up. But that, you know, the flesh, it's telling you, you're not going to get any satisfaction out of that. Oh, yes, I am. Because God began to show me, as I began to pray for him, I quit fretting about it. And he said, I got this and I'll take care of it. It doesn't matter what the situation, whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, mental, relationships, it doesn't make any difference. It's in order for us to fill our spot in the world today and to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we got to look like we're different than the rest of them. And if our responses are the same, we're not any different. God's saying, you delight yourself in me. And you do things my way. And you be a doer of the word. Y'all in Psalms 119? I want to share, just to share a few things here. I'm going to start in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. In other words, in the word of God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, his word, who seek him with their whole heart. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He's commanded us to keep his precepts diligently. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. We cleanse our way, we perfect that which concerns us by taking heed and making up our mind. This is what the word says. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to seek you, Lord, with my whole heart. I'm not going to wander from your commandments. Verse 11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from you. We got to mean it. When we declare these scriptures and when we begin to meditate on them, think about them, it's like, Lord, open my eyes that all I can see. And he begins to, you know, he gave me a picture. He began to say, Russ, my peace, which passes all understanding, will keep you in this if you'll let it. But we get like that with the rope and we're like, but Lord, I want to help. And he's saying, just stop. You just go about what I got for you to do. I'm going to order your steps. I'm going to cause you to be in the right place at the right time. And then I have went back, though, Sharon, and said, okay, Lord, how did I miss it, and what do I need to learn from this? And he's like, that's good. Because when we make our mind up that I'm going to learn something from it, because I ain't going to make this mistake again. You know, I don't want to do those mistakes again. And there's been other things throughout, we all know, throughout our lives. When it's like, Lord, show me, open the eyes of my understanding so I may see wondrous things from your word. He'll show us how to avoid the pitfalls and the ditches and the things. The enemy's just trying to pull us off track, because if we are distracted, then we're usually not much good at that moment. Because where are we? We're just like Martha. Martha, Martha, get a grip. Chill out and get a grip. And you know, God just talks to me so I can understand, okay? He said, you just chill out and get a grip. I got this. He said, you need to learn to be content where I have you. You don't have to be satisfied staying there. We're going to progress. We're going to move forward. But he said, you be content with right now and ask me to open your eyes so I can help, so you can fill a spot, a void maybe where we are. There, not a void being there, but fill a void there where we're positioned at that time. Because the fastest way out of somewhere we don't want to be is being willing to stay there forever. And then you know what? It seems like when I've said that before in the past, Angela, it's like God opens my eyes to why I'm there. And then we become useful, we become effective, and God gets the glory. Most of the time, God's going to get the glory for that because we submitted. You know, that's how, when the Bible talks about submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That doesn't always have to be a vocal thing. It can be an action. It can be an attitude. It can be the way I look at things here. You know, like, okay, I'm going to submit myself unto you, God. I'm going to be content. And so open my eyes so I can see why are we here right now? And then he begins to open our eyes and we see those things. And he said, now I've got you here because this person needs this or this person needs that. Or you may just be a passing through thing to say, look, I just need you to speak to them. And they're not responding to where he wants them to be yet. And sometimes because we deal with people, the situation takes a little longer than we like. That's just people. We've been the same way when others were trying to speak to us and say, I don't want to listen right now. Well, hurry up and listen, because I'm wanting to move on. I got other things I want to do. God's saying, keep praying for them. Keep lifting them up. Which one do we stop at? Verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction, for your word has given me, it gives me life. 58. Be merciful to me, Lord, according to your word. 81. My soul faints for your salvation. Salvation is the total package of everything that we need, spiritually, physically, and financially, but I hope in your word. Forever, I love this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It doesn't return void. Verse 93, I will not forget your precepts, your word, for by them you've given me life. 97, oh, how I love your law or your word. It's my meditation all the day. 100, because I keep your precepts, your word, I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. So, you know, thinking about that scripture, I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. You know what? As we, you know, you cleanse things. You know, everybody always uses the glass, the dirty glass and the water, and you keep pouring clean water in. Well, it is true. You put enough of the word in, it flushes the junk out. You begin to get a distaste for things that are not in line with the word of God. You know what? When we start getting a distaste for that, which is, you know, Randy Weaver put it really good one time, Frank. He said, you know, I have learned to hate the sin and not the sinner. But he said to hate the sin so much that I have a distaste for it. And that isn't exactly how he put it, but it was that context. Is that, listen, as we meditate on the word, as we speak the word, as we think about the word, as we share the word just keeps rolling over, you know. And then we begin to have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and we hold the thoughts, intents, and purposes of his heart. But have you ever been around anyone with selective hearing? As you get older, you just naturally learn how to practice that. And I remember I got really tickled. I was living in South Texas. I wasn't married yet, and I'm down there rodeoing with a friend, Hattie, and his daddy hunted bobcat a lot. He had cat dogs, and I'd go with Joe Rufus every now and then, and we're hunting one night, and I'm with him all the time, so I know how hard of hearing he is, you know, and he just got to talk loud. And we tree a cat one night, and it was early one morning. We treated a cat, and down there in South Texas in the springtime in the brush, and me and the other guy that's with us, we get to the tree, and Joe Rufus looks at us. Jerry was the other boy's name, and he said, Rusty or Jerry, one of y'all climb that tree and poke that cat out of that tree. Jerry looks at me, and he said, I'm not climbing that tree and poke that cat out of that tree. We got 14 dogs at the bottom of the tree. I said, get me a stick. I whispered to Jerry, get me a stick. And Joe Rufus, who's standing like for me to use, not quite that far, but far enough away, he's not supposed to hear this. He said, you don't need no stick, Russ. Climb up there and poke the cat out of the tree. I said, Jerry, get me a stick. I'm like, how do you hear that? That's selective hearing. You know, you only hear what you want. We get the same way with God. I did climb the tree. As I reached back for the stick, I hear something. I look up, and here comes the cat down the tree. And I'm able to do like this as she jumps over my head and into 14 dogs. And so, selective. We do God the same way. If we don't want to hear it, we just kind of push it out there. He's saying, tune our ears into his word. And he speaks to us. And if we'll open our ears to that, and we'll receive it, and not only receive it, but take heed to it. Decide, okay, I can do that. Boy, and it's everything we got. That's just saying, you don't want to do that. You're not going to get any satisfaction out of that. Oh, how I love your word. It's my meditation all day. Meditate on it. I keep your precepts. I restrain from my feet from every way that I keep your word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to your mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. I love it when God opens eyes of my understanding so I can see why we're doing what we're doing. Amen. And sometimes I think we would consider it slow showing us, but it's the timing factors of the his time is impeccable, because if it's timed right, I believe we grasp things from that will not allow us to make that same mistake again. And it's not all mistakes. It may be that it's just because God wants us to be where he planned for us to be before he formed us in our mother's womb. He fashioned our days for us. He wrote them down in the book. And if we follow this, it's fun. Even when the flesh considers it not fun, the spirit man overrides the flesh and breaks away from that fleshly deal, and we begin to see why, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the Lord's the strength of our life. And he's saying, if you'll just do this, you're going to get so much. Even the pain that the flesh would consider pain, the spirit transmits over into joy, and we get stronger because of it. Amen. Because we're willing to say, okay, God, you got this. We love not our lives even unto death. We're here for such a time as this. We're called to be good stewards of our area of influence in this nation, because it all begins at ground level. You're my hiding place and my shield, verse 114. I hope in your word. Thank you. 116. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Revive me according to your word. The entirety of your word is truth. I rejoice at your word. That's 162. 169, give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you and deliver me according to your word. Man, as we hide the word of God in our hearts, as we make, and listen, y'all, Frank's not leaving because he's upset with the preaching. He's got to be there laying on the rope. So have fun. Do good, buddy. Thank you. Guys, I am. I'll be 70 in about 4 or 5 weeks here. And you think, Lord, why did it take me so long to figure some of these things out? And I don't want to share the answer with you. So just, you know, it's just one of them deals, ain't it, Howdy? It's just kind of, sometimes it's a man thing. Sometimes it's just ignorance. Sometimes it's hard-headedness, Roger. But the point being is, if God said, if you repent, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all that unrighteousness. And my grace is sufficient for you, and it'll make your mistakes prosper. And so I'm just looking forward. It's the peace that passes all understanding that comes from being a doer of the word. To me, that's so far, it's one of the greatest things is, you know what? I don't got to fret about it. God's not going to, if I stay focused. I was thinking about racehorses on the way here, thinking sometimes I need a set of blinders. I'm sure nobody else in here is that way, but maybe so that, you know, in Proverbs it talks about don't turn to the right or left, remove your foot from evil, chapter 4, trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, I need some blinders, Renee, so maybe I won't look over here. You know, But pretty soon, the neat thing, that peace that passes all understanding creates such confidence in the Lord and in his word that we quit questioning. And when we quit questioning, we become very effective for the kingdom. And we see people just, they're like, they notice the difference. I think so much of the people need to notice the difference in our lives. There's a lot of believers out there that are just so caught up with the cares of this world and corrupt government, and you know, but it's all going to be okay. I mean, I'm all for, like, they want to fight, man. I'm enlisting this time. I ain't waiting for the draft. I want to enlist. I want to be a part of it. Let's go get them, you know. But we need to enlist in the army of the Lord. And no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who has enlisted him. Let's concentrate on pleasing the Lord, being doers of the word, and not backing off, not wavering. Y'all okay with that? Thank you so much. Hey, you know, go ahead. I appreciate that. God, give God a praise and thank you. We have time. Would you all allow me to read one other little thing? This really caught my... No, not today. The Lord said, we're going to... You know, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the first step in fulfilling your destiny is that God created for us is for us to make that choice, to choose Jesus as Lord and Savior. In Romans, it tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we believe it, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and puts us in right standing with him. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Whether you want to believe that or not, that's the truth. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Heaven spending eternity with God, hell spending eternity out of his presence. And you know, once we take that last breath, that spirit is, you know, we are spirit beings. God, we are created in the image of God. God's a spirit, and we're spirits. And this body houses that spirit. And we have a mind, a will, and emotions. And we were able to choose. God said, I'm not going to make you. He said, I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Jesus said that he came so that if we choose life, we'll have life and more abundantly, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, and ask him to forgive us and repent, turn and say, Lord, I want your way, then we'll be saved. We know we're going to heaven when we leave this earth. We're going to spend eternity with Jesus and a whole lot of people that's in this room going with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just, some days, don't you just wonder what, you know, it's like, man, I think of some of the guys that are there that I think went early. I think maybe they got a picture and they're like, I think I'll check on out. But if that's you and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, we're all going to pray a prayer with you. We're asking you to pray this prayer today and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And everyone in here is going to pray. We're not going to embarrass you. But if that's you and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, we encourage you to do that today. Don't leave here not knowing. You need to know that Jesus is your Lord. So let's pray. Father God, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, thank you today for revealing to me my need for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you're Lord. I ask you to come in and be my Lord and Savior. And I believe in my heart, Father God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I want to spend eternity with you. I want to fulfill my days that you created for me before the foundations of the world. So I submit myself unto you. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin and cleansing me from all unrighteousness, and that I'm now yours. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today, we want to get you a Bible. I want to ask you to come to the front. On the count of three, just raise your hand. We'll get a Bible to you. 1, 2, 3. Anybody today? Okay, y'all look up. Thank y'all so much. Y'all are just so good. You know, you just need to know, and you encourage. You just pull out, don't they, Howdy? When you get up to minister, it's so easy here, y'all. Because everybody in this room is just like trying to be all that God created you to be. And it makes ministry need. So I'm just here to encourage you. Keep it up. Man, be all that God called you. Be the doer he called you in. Let the cares of this world and all that stuff that tries to steal your joy, no way. It ain't happening. I'm going to walk in the peace of God, and I'm going to fulfill my destiny. Thank y'all.